Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that part of the British program is the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States in the top layers of society the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
To the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong, aka Jay Signal. I want to talk to y'all about the United States, but I'm going to go ahead and take one quick break, and I'll get right back with y'all. Okay? Just hold on.
The last thing the men behind the curtain want is a conscious and
wrong file. We'll try another one.
And China can get rid of Chavez. And the first two they've accomplished, Chavez they didn't accomplish, and so you're gonna see guys going to caves looking for looking for people that they're never gonna find. You know, he's laughing about the fact that you have this war on terror. There's no real enemy. He's talking about how by having this war on terror, you can never win it because it's an eternal war, and so you can always keep taking people's liberties away. And I said, how are you going to convince people that this war is real? He said, but the media. The media can convince everybody it's real. I mean, you know, it's just that you keep talking about things. You keep saying it over and over and over again, and eventually people believe it. You know, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11, which is another lie. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie, and now they're going to do Iran. You know, and it's all one thing leading to another, leading to another, leading to another. Now, I would say, what are you doing this for? What's the point of this thing? You have all the money in the world you ever want. You have all the power. I said, you know, you're hurting people. It's not a good thing. And he would say, what do you care about the people for? Take care of yourself and take care of your family. And then I said to him, what are the ultimate goals here? He said, the ultimate goal is to get everybody in this world chipped with the truth that RFID chip. And have all money be on those chips and everything on those chips. And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off the chip.
That's right, microchips. In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the REAL ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the
okay, that's at the end of that tape. I'm sorry for the very large introduction. I'm trying to get away from that, but it's just so fun to have. I think it's kind of neat to just listen to various, and I got an hour and a half to shoot the breeze anyway, so that's cool. The Mark of the Beast, this last clip that was talking about, is fast approaching. They got legislation, passing legislation to chip every individual person in the world. And we all know that it's going to be a economic system that will that will reach or marked. Well, the Bible said this a long time ago. And see, people think they need Hollywood to tell them, you know, what's going to happen in the future. The Bible's been accurate, and the Bible's been repudiated to be inaccurate. For instance, they got you thinking that there's two Isaiahs or there's two Daniels, or Daniel didn't write it at that time. Somebody else wrote it for him. You know, and they come up with all of these falsehoods, making you think that, you know, maybe the Bible has some error in it. But the Bible's been proven time and time again not to have error in it. We can only, by faith, trust what the Bible said, but the Bible's been tested time and time again. For instance, the European Union coming together as one major entity, the Berlin Wall had the Europe cut off and sectioned off into two, in East and West Germany, We had to have some type of an event that will bring those two together, that we will have a one world government and a one world or a whole mass of one Europe. And Germany have to come together for that to happen. This Lisbon Treaty that they just signed, some of the countries were having a hard time signing these things, this legislation, and they finally signed it. And in these last days, there's so many treaties going around being signed, and right now they're building their empires. And there's a saying, if you build it, they'll come, or he'll come. And that is true. The Antichrist is on his way. And if you build a one-world government, sooner or later, you'll be able to place that leader in there to run it. And one of the politicians said, we're looking for a man of stature, and be he from God or the devil, we'll take him. And that's exactly what they're going to get, is a man from the devil coming straight out of hell. And the Bible says that the devil will give the Antichrist his seat, and great power will be given to the Antichrist. And right now, the police state is being set up, and even in the United States and all over the place, with legislation and bills. Everywhere you look, there's a climate bill, there's a hate bill, there's a RFD, RDIS tracking bill. Sometimes they cloak these, like if they want to chip somebody, they'll take this big, massive bill, and they'll stick something that they want to do inside of that bill, so they can say that we already have the legality to do this. You say, well, show me the bill that says you can track everybody. Well, it was in the HRT 16 bill. You know, just making up stuff. And which is legit because it was in the bill. That's what you get for not reading it. sort of like the Patriot Act. You can give Congress some legislation. One of the politicians said that we just can't read everything. If you watch Michael Moore's film, we can't read all of the legislation. It's just too much. Well, I think the Word of God covers the unsaved and the saved. It covers Christian values and it covers unchristian values. You can take a cousin that's not a Christian and he can treat his wife better than a Christian could treat his. And so the legislation, I'm trying to make a point here. I lost my train of thought, but anyway, I was going to make an awesome thought. But these draconian bills are not being read by Congress. And we can expect for this country to continue on at the rate it's going if Congress is not reading legislation. And this carelessness is going to put us over the fire. And not only that, I think the party, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, is sort of blinding themselves. And they're so busy trying to please the people, please their constituents, please their partners, please the globalists, because they know they're working for somebody else. Do you actually think that Congress believes that they're working for themselves? Congress knows that they're working for somebody else, and it's not the people. It is somebody else. Okay? So when we look at Congress as a beacon of hope, and every 4 years, every 2 years, we're trying to vote this person out and vote somebody else in. Thomas Jefferson said that, and I don't know the exact words, but Thomas Jefferson says, one day the American people will be able to vote somebody in office, and if that individual don't give them what they want, they're going to vote him out and vote somebody in that will give them more gifts. And this cycle will continue until the treasury is broke. Emphasis is mine. And I do believe that this is the case. This could happen where we will be a broke nation if we don't watch it. Very broke nation. I'm going to let y'all listen to this climate treaty by a British, I'm going to actually play something else. We need to stay informed. If we don't stay informed as a nation, we're going to lose our nation. We're going to lose this country, and this country will never come back the way it is. It will never return to us the way it should return to us. I don't know what's going on with this, with my chat. on my page, I want to look at it on the page where you view the show, where you listen to the show. Where you can actually watch me do the show as if you want. I don't know what's going on with this thing. Am I still on or what? Well, anyway, I'm going to keep talking. But we are heading for some times where we need to really look and ask ourselves the question, where's this country headed? After 9 months of the current president, we still have no direction. we're still dangling around as if nothing matters. The more things change, the more things stay the same, and that is the truth. I lost my switchboard. I'm having technical difficulties here. I got it back, but I have no idea why this thing is doing this. Sometimes I get satanic attacks on these games. Right now, I have no idea what's going on. I don't even know if anybody hears me out there. I'm gonna go to the chat room. I doubt if anybody on there. Okay. I'm gonna go to the chat room and see if anybody's there, because I'm not actually monitoring the chat room until I get my other computers back. So, gotta love it. So it's probably nobody in the chat room, but I'm gonna start announcing that I got a show coming up. I just come out of nowhere and say I'm gonna do a show tonight. Having a premium package gives you that clout sometimes to do what you want to do. And if you feel like having a show that night, you can have a show that night. And I just think it's pretty cool. But anyway, yeah, there's nobody in the chat room. That's fine. Okay, so I'm back, and that's okay with me. I'm good. I just decided to come out of nowhere and have this show, and that's fine. Okay, so I'm gonna let y'all listen to this gentleman.
That's okay with me.
I'm gonna let y'all listen to this gentleman from London. And I can't even pronounce his name, really. Lord Lynchton. Anyway, he's talking about the climate control bill that could possibly be passed in December. They're having a conference in Copenhagen. So let's just listen to him.
In satisfaction of what is called, coyly, a climate debt, because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the lie. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it. Now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he is.
Okay, let's talk about President of the United States. Go ahead and listen to the next file. And I have no idea what's going on with these files, because that is weird. The files were, I had two files that were together, the climate control treaty, the one you just heard, was part two and part three. Now I look on my switchboard and they're like separated by like five files. That is crazy. Talk about.
And the trouble is this.
Wow.
If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resile from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom to the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever. And neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty. I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you, whether you like it or no. But I think it is here, here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire. It is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty.
Yeah, we do need to stop this, but we need to pray also. And that is the Christian's way of defeating the kingdom of the darkness, is to pray. And the thing is that the church is here to suppress evil. The Holy Spirit is working through the church to suppress evil. And that is why the world can't go all the way full-blown into wickedness, because the church is still here. And without the church, the true church of Christ, the world will reach a climax of total evil. And the Bible says that the love of many shall wax worse and worse. I notice around Christmas time, people want to be a little bit nice, but right after Christmas, a little bit after New Year's, people turn back to their normal way of life, which is not too nice. But there is good people in this country. I'm not saying that's the case, but there is good people in this nation. We need to pray for. In this country, I'm going to let y'all hear another. Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
That was John Kennedy talking about the responsibilities of the media to let us know what's going on. And that's not going to happen, folks. They're not going to tell us what's going on. You know why? Because they are owned by the globalists. And they're not going to tell you. These people are in bed with globalists who are demonically influenced and who is run by Satan. Satan is running this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. And as long as the church is here, he cannot reach his full strength. But once the church is gone, he will reach his strength. We must pray for this nation. The Bible says that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. And the land is not going to be healed unless we submit to God. We can't half step. We can't pretend to be Christians. We can't act like a Christian. We have to be one in our hearts. And if we are one in our hearts, then we can be saved through the power of the Spirit of God. But the Antichrist will come, and he will attempt to mark all. He will attempt to bring back emperor worship. Emperor worship will return, and he will call himself God. He's going to go once 10 steps further than Abraham, actually call himself God and launch himself everything that is called God. There's nothing that will be out of his reach. He will frustrate the saints. They are all the saints. They're not all church. He will frustrate the saints. So we have to, as Christians, get the word out there that Jesus is coming. Now, the more God delays his coming, the more Second Peter comes to mind. As Christians get the word out, comes to mind even clearer, because there are scoffers in the last days saying, where is this promise of God? Since our forefathers fell asleep, we always said Jesus was going to come, but he did not come. Only thing they did not know is that God also said that he would destroy this whole world. And Noah, being a righteous man, built this ark for 120 years, and they watched him build it. They watched him build this ark, poked fun of him, laughed at him, and said, you moron, you're going to build this ship. There is no rain. There is no such thing as rain. That would never happen. Do you know that that is huge. There's been no rain for ages. We don't have the exact number, but there has not been any rain for ages. There has never been a massive flood guaranteed. And all of a sudden, that first drop hit, and the second drop, and the third drop, and the fourth drop. There has to be a point where these people say, oh, crap, Noah was right. And we can go back to Pharaoh, the times of Pharaoh, when Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron's bluff so many times, and the thing happened. You have to be straight up, and let me use this word, retarded, because they have not phased that word out. Retarded can be used if it's used in the right perspective. Stupid is stupid does. Retarded is retarded does. You are retarded if you sit there and say, I don't believe that you can cause the whole water to turn into blood. You're a moron. You're a genius, but you're a moron. I'm pretty sure the Pharaohs were highly educated among men. But they're educated, stupid people. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm sorry. I'll say that they are highly educated people who sort of have twisted views on society. And in the last days, they're going to be a man who went to Harvard and went to Yale and Princeton or went to Oxford, and they still don't get it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Who is the prudent? The prudent is these people who are very intelligent, but they just miss the point. You suppose that Paul, who murdered and frustrated and killed Christians, you suppose he was pretty intelligent? The Bible says he was intelligent. But could it come to a point at that time that God considered him foolish? It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's wisdom. Wisdom is when you know God. That is wisdom. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. He calls the person who denies that there is God a fool. Now, what I advertised this show was going to be about is the United States, the great United States, and its fall. They are people who, with their actions, have voided out God. God says all day long they don't think about me. And it'll be the very same people to say, I'm a Christian. See, God is a good luck charm who you pull out of your pocket when you want him. You want to use God and then put him right back in your pocket, your hip pocket. He's not a lucky four-leaf. He's not a four-leaf clover. He's not a rabbit's foot. He's God. He created you. The Bible says in Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. And that's talking about us too. But the Bible literally says a fool says there is no God. Do you know a lot of scientists are coming to Jesus? They are coming to Jesus because they studied it and said it's impossible to say there is no creator to this intelligent design. Intelligent design, folks. The microphone that I'm using has a designer. The computer, the Apple computer I'm using has a designer. Who can go out and make an Apple computer and I give you 24 hours? Who can do it? None. Not just the average person. It takes a corporation just to make a beautiful computer like this, or somebody in their garage who have applied themselves. But you see the creation. God has said in Romans that they looking at the very creation still doubt God. And you look at the universe and its massive design and how the earth, if it moves closer to the sun, it will burn up. And if it moves farther away, it will freeze. And it's in the perfect trajectory. It's in the perfect place. It will burn up. If it moves a little bit closer, it will freeze. If it moves farther. And then we say there is no God. If you look at the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and your wife who has a baby and it goes through labor and she, how can you say, you see a lady who spends her time making a Thanksgiving meal and then you walk in the house and say, that smells good.
You know, we came home and just accidentally there was a big old massive table with turkey and collard greens and dressing.
Now they look at you, you need a straitjacket. But the Bible literally says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then it says in chapter 1 of Psalms, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Some of the same people telling you there is no God. Reincarnation. Evolution. Nor stand in the path of the sinners. The sinners will tell you there is no God because there's too many hungry people, which I will not feed because I think God should be feeding them. Well, if you think God should be feeding them, why don't you go feed them first?
That's why I think there is no God. Too many sufferings.
Nor sitteth in the counsel of a scoffer. The scoffer is the people who said there is no God.
Or says, where is the coming of the Son of Man? Since the forefathers fell asleep. There's always been. Jesus is delaying this. He'll never come.
But blessed is the man whose delight is in the Lord, who wants God and wants to please God, who wants the heart of God, who wants to seek God, who wants to do the things that God wants him to do. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who wants to do the things that God wants him to do. But God has given us a brain to think rationally.
The very brain that you use to say, there is no God. Brain surgery is not something anyone can just do on something that happened by accident. I'm going to work on brain surgery on this individual who was created by nothing, but he has a great design that I have to go to school, 16 years of school, to figure out how to work on something that happened on accident. Well, why can't he just go work on it on by accident? Can't anybody just go into the room and operate on somebody? It's impossible. You don't, it does not come, it does not work like that. You can't just, it doesn't work like that. So, God is going to one day come back at a specific time, at an appointed time in which he has only known by himself, the Father only knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. No, it's joking. Nobody knows when God is coming. Not one person. If we pretend to say we know, yeah, I have my own thoughts, but should that be doctrine? No, it shouldn't be doctrine. I have my own notion of when Jesus is coming back, but I don't know myself. Oh, let me guess. I saw a movie called 2012. So, yeah, he's coming back in 2012. Yeah, right. I guess the tribulation period only lasts for like a week. 7 days instead of 7 years. 2012. So, yeah. But I'm going to start trying to invite people out to my shows, because I haven't really done any inviting. I'm just sort of, you know, just winging it. Like, tonight was not a night that I was going to even have a show. But God will save his people. Israel will be saved. All of Israel will be saved. Israel is God's appointed people. Somebody has said that the tribulation, the book of Revelation, none of the book of Revelations after chapter 6 has been done yet. It's impossible. First of all, let me go to Daniel chapter 9. And I just want to cover this. It probably takes me a little bit of time to cover this, but I still want to get back real quick to the United States. And that seems to be one of my big problems. But it says in chapter 9 of Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish transgression and to make an end of sin. Isn't that going to be awesome? God has a schedule where he wants to finish transgressions, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquities, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High. That is going to be a tremendous day when Jesus is anointed King Jesus. Know therefore and understand, for from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince, there should be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even the troublesome times. And after that 72 weeks, the Messiah should be cut off. So Jesus was cut off. And the time, this time will cover 490 years. And the Messiah will be cut off. And then there'll be another 7 that will come in the last days. It says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. Now, the prince that shall come is the Antichrist himself.
So he would just, so his people destroyed the temple and the sanctuary. Remember Jesus? Another stone that is going to be destroyed. In 70 AD, Titus and his generals destroyed the temple. It says the end of it shall come like a flood. So the end times will come like a flood. It says, until the end of war, desolations are to be determined. Let me turn this down right there. It says, and then that he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's one haptat, was 1 7-year period. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes the temple. Antiochus Epiphanes did in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 11. And cause the sacrifices to cease. And the Antichrist is a mere effect of Antiochus Epiphanes. And he will do, the Bible says that he will do according to his own will, will magnify himself above everything that is called God and that is God. And he will take over the world government. Now, where is the United States in all of this? What part will the United States play in all of this? Is the United States in Bible prophecy at all? And does it stand out like a sword thumb, like Europe does? Now, we do understand that the revived from the beast that comes out of the sea will first be a Mediterranean Union. It won't be the European Union by itself. It'll be if you read Daniel chapter 2, there's two legs. Now, the legs were the Roman Empire. But there's two feet. And it's the east wing and the west wing. Constantinople was the capital of the east, and Rome was the capital of the west. And that these were ran by the emperor. Of course, the other side was also ran by the emperor, appointed by the top emperor in Rome. So the Antichrist will be a emperor who will not only make himself a god, he will call himself the God. I am the God. And even blessing people and who are in heaven and Jesus himself. The Bible says that he should receive a mortal wound. So a fake resurrection, we don't know particularly how this thing is going to work. There should be a resurrection. And he will get up and claim to be God. So in Revelations chapter 17, there is a harlot woman who is on a beast, and it comes to a point where the beast does not want the woman on. It wants to not take the shackles off this woman who have helped the beast arise. Now, even to a point where there's a mortal wound, and the second beast gives homage to the first beast. The first beast being the Antichrist, the second beast being the false prophet, and saying, you guys need to make an image of the beast, and you guys need to worship him, and you guys need to make this cast of society or mark so this person can be worshipped, worthy to be worshipped. So where does the United States fall into all of this? Could it possibly be not there? Or if it's there, it's just joined in onto a global empire? That is my best guess. Now, am I speculating or guessing? I was guessing some form of speculation. Can we speculate? I think you can speculate about a lot of things, but let's not make a ministry full of speculation. I do believe that the United States is not there. And if people have got to really search for the United States and make a dog do roll over and jump through hoops and flames, then you might have the question that maybe it's not speculating at all, but it's a good, you know, it's worthy to be talked about. A lot of people try to make the United States appear. I think the United States does appear in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the merchants of Tarshish and the cubs. He said, is that all? Well, the merchants of Tarshish and its cubs is making a protest. And they're saying, are you going to come and take a spoil? Are you going to come and rob Israel of all their goods? But it seems to be a weak protest. That's why I believe that the Antichrist is not on the scene yet. And that's why I believe that the Antichrist is not known yet. Because the Antichrist comes and brings peace to Israel, temporary peace, which will last 3.5 years. Okay? I'm going to let y'all listen to this Russian economist.
Igor Nikolaevich, to one of your previous lectures, you've mentioned that the United States could be actually disintegrating in the near future. You made such theories about 10 years ago when the United States was a flourishing state. What are you basing your theories on? In the light of today's crisis in the U.S., many people started talking about possible major changes in the country. But I expressed my concept back in September 1998 in Linz, Austria, at the Information War Conference. On the 9th of September, I produced a report with a very unusual ending. I kept the ending of my report secret from the other participants of the conference. A huge map of the United States appeared on a 40-meter screen. I pushed a button on my computer, and this map fell into 6 pieces. 400 people in the audience cried out in shock. Before the map fell apart, it had the disintegration of the USA in 2010 written on it. My statement got a huge response. But even to my surprise, many Americans and Europeans took my ideas very seriously. At the time, I emphasized the 3 main reasons which, in my opinion, could lead to the collapse of the U.S. The first one is the moral and psychological factor and the stress of the American population. The second one is the financial and economic problems. And the third one is the increase of anti-Americanism in the world.
Well, let's imagine the United States really start to fall out. How will this disintegration happen? And how many parts will the United States be divided then?
At that time, I expressed my concept. It would fall into 6 parts, and I backed it up with several factors. First of all, there were the ethnic, economic, and geographical factors. So we see a totally different ethnic group and ethnic interests. Texas and the Gulf of Mexico coast are a fuel and energy complex, the oil sector. California is Silicon Valley and high tech. Considering New York, Washington, and the Atlantic coast, they're all financial centers, first of all. And the northern states of the U.S. are basically the depressive states, which are close to Canada in their mentality and economic development. This is how I divide these parts. The danger is this would not be a very beneficial solution for Russia.
Well, as soon as you've mentioned it, how this potential disintegration of the United States can affect the world, and in particular, what will it mean for Russia?
Okay, y'all heard that. That was the Russian economist talking about the. We all probably heard about the Russian economist saying that the United States will be broken into 6
different parts, which is not the best news in the world, especially with a country that is so blessed. I mean, I can jump out, get in my car, and I mean, I can jump out, do what I want, and hurry. I just realized that my page has like five. Well, okay, I see what's going on. Well, anyway, yeah, so you have the freedom to do what you want to do in this great nation that we call the United States. And, you can't deny that this nation was great. I mean, if there's anyone who wants to deny this nation was great,
you want to do in this great nation.
They're tricking themselves.
We call the United States.
I'm seeing some problems with my, I didn't know they exist.
You can't.
Y'all hear me echoing because I'm looking at my page and things like that, and I'm seeing some errors. So maybe that's why. But I'm going to start inviting people to the show, and I'm trying to work out the kinks. I really am trying to work out the kinks, and it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world to work out these kinks, but hopefully I can work them out, and we can continue on. There are some people that I'm trying to invite onto my show, some of the people that are on Blog Talk Radio, and it's going to be coming probably in December. And then I'm also going to go outside of Blog Talk Radio and start looking for people who have the message that we need to get out there. That's the most important thing, is we need to get these messages out there that this nation needs to bear. And if your wife comes up to you and says, "Honey, you need to take a shower. You're going to get your feelings hurt. Or you need some gum. You know, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You need to say, oh, you know what? You're right. Let me brush my teeth. Or let me do this or that." You know, you just can't sit up there and say, well, you're stunk 5 weeks ago. You know, you got to do what you got to do. You got to say, you know, yeah, you're right, okay, let me take a bath, or let me get some of this stink off me, you know, take me a hot bath. And no, I didn't talk to any of y'all wives out there. So I'm just joking. But we need to really look at, my shows are going to be a lot better in the future, especially with myself, because I'm sort of like today, I just came out of nowhere. I'm going to do a show, you know, and it's not the smartest thing to do in the world, but I just like doing shows. So I think my problem is I have to truly prepare for these shows so I would actually have something right, you know, to say without any ums, because I got a lot of ums, and I've listened to some of my shows in the past, and I've got tremendous ums. I'm an person. I used to make fun of the football players, I'm like, dude, you ain't said nothing. How am I know? You ain't said nothing. You know? But this is a show that will be based off Bible prophecy. We would talk about world government. We would talk about, we were warned, the general public of coming world government, and this will be a show that I'm going to spend at least Monday, just sit on the computer, I don't care what I'm doing, and invite people to come. If I can get at least 50 people to listen to the show, 50 new people, you know, they don't necessarily be Christians, just listen to the show, I'll be happy. I'll be a happy blood, you know. I'll be happy, happy, happy. I will be super happy. But people got to know that if they don't repent,
if we don't repent as a nation, judgment is coming upon us, and it's coming very quickly, and without warning. The judgment of America is coming very quickly, and the Bible talks about men who, the sun moves like closer. We had an ultra supernova, and the sun gets truly hot, and men still won't repent. And I'm like, what kind of crap is this? I mean, you see angels flying through the sky, you see war, you see rocks and earthquakes and big old meteors with burning fire. You still want to repent? You know, I'm to a point to stand, if you're not going to repent, you might deserve what you're getting, but I don't want to say that because, you know, we deserve what we get. And I pray, we need to pray. People that are going to be in heaven are going to be praying for the people on earth. Isn't that awesome? It says that the angel lifted up. And the people that are on earth are going to be praying for the people who are on earth, of course. The new Christians, Christians who are not saved before the tribulation period, who will get saved after the tribulation period starts. If you saw an angel flying through the sky, and you saw two witnesses get slaughtered and die and lay on the ground for three straight days, and they just get up and dust themselves off and then float in the air, wouldn't you be smart enough to say, well, I ain't taking this mark. I ain't that stupid. Do you actually think people are that dumb to see an angel flying through the sky and all this stuff happening? You've already heard about it. Now it's coming true. That's why I said a couple of nights yesterday that everybody's going to play a role in this end time events. I know you come out of those movies and you admire those movie stars who play in 2012 or Deep Impact or The Day After Tomorrow, and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. It never happened, but it's pretty cool. Well, you guess what? You're going to be able to play in your own little movie. Well, big movie, actually. Everybody's going to play a role. Church is going to be gone. How do you know the church is going to be gone? Because the word church is not mentioned. After chapter 3. Mentioned 19 times. Don't you think God is trying to do an emphasis to the church of, 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 to the church of Laodicea, to the church, they're going to be still here, to the church of Philadelphia, they're going to be gone, to the church of Myrnum, to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Thyatira. These message that the church is gone, it says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said to the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the time of testing that's coming upon the whole earth to try the whole earth. I'm keeping you out of. He said in Thessalonians that he has not appointed us to wrath. But what church is he talking about? Is he talking about a phony church that are Christians on the surface? Is he talking about a church that is like just get in the car on Sundays and take the family to church because it's the right thing to do? Is he talking about a church that goes and feeds the person who feeds the hungry, but inwardly is a wolf in sheep's clothing? No, he's talking about somebody who in the heart, love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about true Christianity from the heart. I love God from the heart. I want to serve God from the heart. God wants a relationship with us. He wants to be able to talk to us and comfort us and be with us and walk and talk. That's why he told the people, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. They never knew us. Never knew you. I never knew you. Why would we want the God of the universe to say, I never knew you? And I keep harping on having a Christian nation. See, if a Christian preacher gets caught doing this or that, everybody's talking about it over the coffee pot. Which, if you bring a snare upon Jesus, yeah, you're going to get talked about. You reap what you sow. However, if you take a normal guy that gets caught doing something, the unsaved people are going to know it. They're going to say, this person is a hypocrite. This person does this or that or that or this. But they just can't seem to get themselves to realize that this is not a Christian nation. Now, see, you'll call a person a hypocrite because you saw them at a club or church the next day, which they are a hypocrite. But can you do that to the country? That may be blinding them to think that they sit there and watch the younger wrestlers and seeing two dudes kiss, but I'm a Christian. If you can sit there and watch that crap, you probably not. If you can sit there and watch someone get divorced on TV and it doesn't bother you, well, I got a divorce on. So, well, I pray that God has forgiven you. If you sorry about it and you repent, God is going to forgive you. But someone who accepts divorce and walk, just like abortion, people who say, "Oh, I'm good with, I killed, you know, I got an abortion." For those who are out there who had an abortion, who are remorseful, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the person who had an abortion and just don't care. Now you say, you want me to be sad for the rest of my life? I want you to be remorseful and repent. God will bring peace and you will go forward. You're going to see that baby again. But heck, if you don't care about the baby now and in eternity, I would love to see my baby again. I want to see who that child is that I gave up or that I killed. You know, I'm going to say keep killing and kill. I aborted. We need to repent. There's things that I've done in the past that I'm embarrassed about, totally embarrassed about. Totally embarrassed about. I think my cat has mental problems. I really do. I'm downstairs. His litter boxes in the hall with the cover over him, so he goes into it, so the, you know, traps the smell in. He goes in there, and he scratches the wall. He's a rag dog. He's mixed with Persian, Siamese, and Burman, and he's retarded sort of. If you're gonna use the word retarded. Now he comes to my room to harass us. And I can't open his, you know, his stuff up with the litter, but he scratches the side of the box. Now that, and I know people say that you're supposed to use the word retarded in your mind. I don't think it's taken out of the encyclopedia or the dictionary yet. And there are times today, stupid is and stupid does, when you have a stupid in this nation. Have you ever seen the world's dumbest criminals? Well, for that day, when you try to take an ATM machine and strap it to some chains and drive off with it, stupid is and stupid does. Now, I'm not saying that person's stupid, but they're stupid for that day. Now, the globalists, they're brilliant men, but to me, they can get stupid. I mean, to me, 2012. If you didn't watch the movie, go see the movie. Nothing interprets the Bible like the Bible, so, and nothing interprets the end times like the Bible. So I'm not saying go see it for that purpose, like it's going to teach you anything. But go see that movie. And at the end of the movie, I'm just going to say this really quick, that the higher echelon people were noticed. I'm trying to say it without giving anything away, but the higher ups almost at the end of the movie were noticed when they were able to escape the things that were coming. And you have to go see it. Just go see the movie. And I thought that was kind of interesting that, just go see the movie. God bless y'all out there. We got 20 minutes left on the show. So I'm just going, maybe y'all watch. I'm just checking out my website. I'm still working on my website. It's going to be ready. Probably in about a week or two. If you're looking on my chat room, my website is behind me. Actually, I didn't even know the Blog Talk Radio had the sign on the air. I think that's kind of cool. I didn't even know that. That's pretty cool. That is neat. As you see Alex Jones right there. I'm trying to get this website biblical. If you see right here, I don't think I can see very clearly where my cursor is. You can go on and you can listen to, you're going to be able to go on and listen to different preachers preach the gospel. It's a nice looking website. I'm going to probably have it done. Here's a logo of a website that's called We Kill Children, and it's kind of a unique name, but it's a good website. Go check it out. And like I say, it's going to be ready in about a week or two. I'm going to try to finish it up. It also has a news page I'm working on, and it also has the United States. This thing's kind of slow. I'm making a 2012 page. I got that out there. Because I'm going to start on Sunday with my actual radio program. If you can see, it says 5 days left to the Prophet Zone radio program. And then you go down and you can see various things. I'm going to try to have this website done pretty darn quick. And I built it too big, and I didn't really want to build it that big, and it kind of got me in a pickle. So now it's the right size. This one I haven't even filled up with news yet, but as you can see, right here, martial law. It's going to have anything that has to do with Bible prophecy, anything that has to do with the laws that are changed or being changed for the detriment of the people, that the people need, we need to be aware. Got a file right here. You can go on there and read the hate crimes bill. I don't know what just happened to this computer. Something just happened. My cat is tripping. I think I just lost my live stream podcast. I just lost that, so I'm trying to get that back, and I'm trying to go back live with that. So it's back on. That's crazy, man. I think I get more problems running these shows. The devil don't want us to excel and get the message out. So Next Sunday will be my first original, first show. I know I got a lot of shows in the archive, but I'm going to start having guests. I'm going to start having more control of what I say, more segments, different segments, and I hope it doesn't mess me up because I'm much better just blobbing my mouth. So we're going to see how that's going to work out. I didn't see anybody in the chat room, and I'm not expecting anybody in the chat room. There's so many programs going on. When I look at the box, there's a lot of programs going on, so it's like competition. So if you don't let these people know that your radio program is on, you're probably going to not get anybody to come to your show. Because I never did a show on Monday, I don't think. So I need to understand that there's still competition out there. And I just enjoy the show. I really do. I mean, I enjoy doing these radio programs. I think I was made to do radio programs. I truly were made to do radio programs. Okay. But let's get right back. Let's finish up with the United States. I love my country. This is a country that you can actually go out and you can start your own business. You can do what you want to do. Violating anybody else's rights. I think that is the most important thing is you can go out and do what you want to do without violating anybody else's rights. To live and prosper and do what they want to do. But if you're going to violate other people's rights, then you don't need any breaks. Let me let y'all listen to this, and then I'm going to finish up with this. And this is what I want to talk about in a couple of weeks, is the American citizen being made the enemy. And American citizen being made the American way of life being made the enemy of these globalists. I'm not talking about the American way of life being the enemy enemies and domestically that we have to contend with. I don't think a lot of times the enemies that are domestic are making up stories. Making these so-called enemies are supposed to be foreign, bigger than they are, because they want to take over. They want to scare us into a globalist empire, and it's more beneficial to them. They're going to make more money by. They're going to be able to tax loot us, because if you control the wealth of a country, man, I'm having more problems with this thing than ever. If you control the wealth of a country, you're going to be able to get richer, because if you're controlling the wealth and if you're controlling the prices of commodities, you're going to be able to get on either side of that commodity, because you're going to know what price that commodity is going to be in about a week. This is kind of like 9/11 when American Airlines, people were shorting contracts for American Airlines. Now, who told them to short contracts for American Airlines?
I think this new thing going on in Great Britain and Al Qaeda, written up all these Britons, essentially, 1,400 strong, apparently, in a new, what's being called a new white Al Qaeda army. Tougher to detect, potentially.
Yeah, because they're not Muslims. They look just.
Okay, the new white Al-Qaeda, and that's also black, Puerto Rican, Mexican. American people are the enemies of the secret societies. The secret societies want world government. They want to shrink everything. That started in the 80s when the banks were like, there were many banks, and actually in the 90s, I started reading books on secret societies. societies, and they were talking about shrinking the banks. Instead of these all these banks, they were gonna close the banks down and make them much. They're gonna all be consolidated together, and that is true. Right now, you have much bigger banks, and that's what happens when they control the money flow, is that they will break a bank, give it irresponsible habits, meaning a lot of those credit swaps and derivatives. They'll give them a bad habit, and then they'll break the bank, and then they come to the bank and say, why did you do this? Well, you should have regulated the derivatives. These highly sophisticated instruments that are being used to make the banks richer. You can go and buy, Hewlett Packard can go and buy, spend about $100 million and buy $1 billion worth of derivatives, and then markets will go up. But between the $100 million and the $1 billion, where's the money in between? And these highly sophisticated computers to figure out what's going up and what's going down. But to give you the real scoop, they're insiders. You think insider trading is just people who get caught? They know what's going on. So what they do is they set up the system to fall. For instance, the Federal Reserve is not federal. Neither does it have a reserve. So they print money out of thin air, and it's just like blowing a balloon, really, really big balloon, and you know it's going to pop sooner or later. And in the country that you were in, 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was created, and also the right to tax individual citizens. Bill was passed. Also, a tax bill was passed. So they had to, the secret societies had to charge the American people some way. And then the way you're going to loot the American people is to tax them. Now, am I saying taxes is wrong? No. The Bible says to pay the Caesar what is Caesar, pay the God what is God. So, no, I'm not saying that. Okay? I'm just saying that we need to pay our taxes. We need to do what the government says do until they come to a point where they want to take your rights away from you. Well, I got 8 minutes. I want to just go ahead and play. I always play this Eisenhower tape because it's basically, besides Bible prophecy, this is what my show is about here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
We got 4 minutes, so we just go ahead and let y'all know that we're going to be having, like I said before, some guests that's coming on. I'll try to get as many guests as I can lined up, and we go from there. I know I can pull the show out if the guests don't show up, but it's always nice to have somebody to show up when they say they're going to show up. So what we decided to do is through the holidays, try to get some special guests to come on to the program and take a look at truth, because the truth will set us free as a nation. And if we don't have the truth, we won't have a chance to be set free from the bondages that so easily cripple us. And I have another show called The Common Salvation that I'm going to also gonna be bringing out and trying to get some people to show up. And let's do this. Let's nothing to it but to do it. You know, you guys are welcome to come on and call in. And I'm be promoting people to call in. Some people that is legit. Because I have bad experience with people who are calling in and just saying, man, this one show that I was doing for Omega Radio, almost, I mean, that set me back big time. So with these 2 minutes left, we're just going to be praying for this nation, for this country. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Father God, that you would just give us the strength and to bear witness for your word and for your kingdom, God. We just pray that you would just empower us to do your will. For those who are listening, Father God, we just pray, Father God, that you just empower in the Holy Spirit to go forth and proclaim your gospel, Jesus. We pray that you would give us wisdom, God, and truth, God, and you would send us out into the highways and byways and proclaim the gospel. We know that this country's been supposed to be a Christian nation, but no one's going out to witness and talk to people about God. But we pray that you would give each Christian the will to do this, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And go see 2012. It's based off Mayan calendar and all this other stuff, but just go see it and get a idea. And I was reading Revelations earlier, and that is true. That's what it's going to be exactly like it's going to be with those earthquakes, because the Bible says the earthquakes are going to be massive earthquakes. So, yeah, just go check it out. I don't know how much time is left. I think a couple seconds. But, yeah, go see it. and let me know what you think about it. Meet on the next show. God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful day. Good night.